Today is March the 6th. Today we see Israel's new home. Reading through the Bible in a year, please read Numbers 22 through 24. In chapter 21, Israel leaves the desert of Zin, or Paran, or Kadesh Barnea, and they travel to the border of the country of Moab. When they arrive at the border, they actually drive out the Amorites who are living there. That's in chapter 21, verse 31. They defeat two kings. And so they camp on the border of Moab. The king of Moab, a man named Balak, gets nervous about that. So he sends for a prophet of Baal, a man named Balaam, the people of Baal. He says, please curse Israel for me. Now, Israel only camped on the border of Moab for about 2 years, but their presence there was quite disturbing to the king. Balaam comes. At first, he refuses to come, and he says, I could only do what the Lord allows me to do. But Balak sends him a great amount of money, so he does come. Balaam says, I still can't say anything that the Lord doesn't tell me to say. The king three times asked him to curse Israel. Three times instead, Balaam blesses Israel. Numbers 22 to 24 is the history of that entire episode. Enjoy today as you read Numbers 22 to 24.
Then the people of Israel traveled the plains of Moab and camped east of the Jordan River across from Jericho. Balak, son of Zippor, the Moabite king, had seen everything the Israelites did to the Amorites. And when the people of Moab saw how many Israelites there were, they were terrified. The king of Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This mob will devour everything in sight, like an ox devours grass in the field." So Balak, king of Moab, sent messengers to call Balaam, son of Beor, who was living in his native land of Pethor near the Euphrates River. His message said, "Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and are threatening me. Please come and curse these people for me because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on any people who you bless, and curses fall on people who you curse." Balak's messenger, who were elders of Moab and Midian, set out with money to pay Balaam to place a curse upon Israel. They went to Balaam and delivered Balak's message to him. "Stay here overnight," Balaam said. "In the morning I will tell you whatever the Lord directs me to say." So the officials from Moab stayed there with Balaam. That night God came to Balaam and asked, "Who are these men visiting you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come and curse these people for me. Then perhaps I will be able to stand up to them and drive them from the land." But God told Balaam, "Do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed." The next morning, Balaam got up and told Balak's officials, "Go home. The Lord will not let me go with you." So the Moabite officials returned to King Balak and reported, "Balaam refused to come with us." Then Balak tried again. This time he sent an even larger number of even more distinguished officials than those he had sent the first time. They went to Balaam and delivered this message to him. "This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Please don't let anyone stop you from coming to help me. I will pay you very well and do whatever you tell me. Just come and curse these people for me." But Balaam responded to Balak's message, "Even if Balak were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord my God." but stay here one more night, and I will see if the Lord has anything else to say to me." That night God came to Balaam and told him, "Since these men have come for you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you to do." So the next morning Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, and started off with the Moabite officials. But God was angry that Balaam was going, so he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. As Balaam and two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted off the road into a field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved further down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. This time when the donkey saw the angel, it laid down under Balaam. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again with his staff. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. "What have I done to you to deserve this beating me three times?" it asked Balaam. "You have made me look like a fool," Balaam shouted. "If I had a sword with me, I would kill you." "But I am the same donkey you have ridden all your life," the donkey answered. "Have I ever done anything like this before?" "No," Balaam admitted. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. "Why did you beat your donkey those three times?" the angel of the Lord demanded. "Look, I have come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would have certainly killed you by now and spared the donkey." Then Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to block my way. I will return home if you are against my going." But the angel of the Lord told Balaam, "Go with these men, but say only what I tell you to say." So Balaam went on with Balak's officials. When King Balak heard that Balaam was on the way, he went out to meet him at a Moabite town on the Arnon River at the furthest border of his land. "Didn't I send you an urgent invitation? Why didn't you come right away?" Balak asked Balaam. "Didn't you believe me when I said I would reward you richly?" Balaam replied, "Look, now I have come, but I have no power to say whatever I want. I will speak only the message that God puts in my mouth." Then Balaam accompanied Balak to Kiriath-Huzoth, where the king sacrificed cattle and sheep. He sent portions of the meat to Balaam and the officials who were with him. The next morning, Balak took Balaam up to Bamoth-Baal. From there, he could see some of the people of Israel spread out below him. Then Balaam said to King Balak, "Build me 7 altars here, and prepare 7 young bulls and 7 rams for me to sacrifice." Balak followed his instructions, and the two of them sacrificed a young bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand here by your burnt offerings, and I will go to see if the Lord will respond to me. Then I will tell you whatever he reveals to me." Then Balaam went alone on the top of a bare hill, and God met him there. Balaam said to him, "I have prepared 7 altars and have sacrificed a young bull and a ram on each altar." The Lord gave Balaam a message for King Balak. Then he said, "Go back to Balak and give him my message." So Balaam returned and found the king standing beside his burnt offerings with all the officials of Moab. This was the message Balaam delivered. "Balak summoned me to come from Aram. The king of Moab brought me from the eastern hills. Come," he said, "curse Jacob for me. Come and announce Israel's doom. But how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I condemn those whom the Lord has not condemned? I see them from the clifftops. I watch them from the hills. I see a people who lived by themselves, set apart from other nations. Who can count Jacob's descendants as numerous as dust? Who can even count a fourth of Israel's people? Let me die like the righteous. Let my life end like theirs." Then King Balak demanded of Balaam, "What have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies. Instead, you have blessed them?" But Balaam replied, "I will speak only the message that the Lord puts in my mouth." Then King Balak told him, "Come with me to another place. There you will see another part of the nation of Israel, but not all of them. Curse at least that many." So Balak took Balaam to the plateau of Zophim of Pisgah Peak. He built 7 altars there and offered a young bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to the king, "Stand here by your burnt offerings while I go over there and meet the Lord." And the Lord met Balaam and gave him a message. Then he said, "Go back to Balak and give him my message." So Balaam returned and found the king standing beside his burnt offerings with all the officials of Moab. "What did the Lord say?" Balak asked eagerly. This was the message Balaam delivered. "Rise up, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, I receive a command to bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. No misfortune is in his plan for Jacob. No trouble is in store for Israel. For the Lord their God is with them. He has been proclaimed their king. God brought them out of Egypt. For them he is as strong as a wild ox. No curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel. For now it will be said of Jacob, what wonders God has done for Israel. These people rise up like a lioness, like a majestic lion rousing itself. They refuse to rest until they have feasted on prey, drinking the blood of the slaughtered. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Fine, but if you won't curse them, at least don't bless them." But Balaam replied to Balak, "Didn't I tell you I can do only what the Lord tells me?" Then King Balak said to Balaam, "Come, I will take you to one more place. Perhaps it will please God to let you curse them from there." So Balak took Balaam to the top of Mount Peor, overlooking the wasteland. Balaam again told Balak, "Build me 7 altars and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me to sacrifice." So Balak did as Balaam ordered and offered a young bull and a ram on each altar. By now, Balaam realized that the Lord was determined to bless Israel, so he did not resort to divination as before. Instead, he turned and looked out toward the wilderness, where he saw the people of Israel camped, tribe by tribe. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and this is the message he delivered. This is the message of Balaam, son of Beor, the message of the man whose eyes see clearly, the message of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who bows down with eyes wide open. Oh, how beautiful are your tents, O Jacob! How lovely are your homes, O Israel! They spread before me like palm groves, like gardens by the river. They are like tall trees planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from their buckets. Their offspring have all they need. Their king will be greater than Agag. Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt. For them he is as strong as a wild ox. He devours all the nations that oppose him, breaking their bones in pieces, shooting them with arrows. Like a lion, Israel crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to arouse her? Blessed is everyone who blesses you, O Israel, and cursed is everyone who curses you. King Balak flew into a rage against Balaam. He angrily clapped his hands and shouted, "I called you to curse my enemies. Instead, you have blessed them 3 times. Now get out of here. Go back home. I promised to reward you richly, but the Lord has kept you from your reward." Balaam told Balak, "Don't you remember what I told your messengers? I said, even if Balak were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord. I told you that I could say only what the Lord says. Now I am returning to my own people. But first, let me tell you what the Israelites will do to your people in the future." This is the message Balaam delivered. This is the message of Balaam, son of Beor, the message of the man whose eyes see clearly, the message of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty. He bows down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but far, in the distant future. A star will rise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel. It will crush the heads of Moab's people, cracking the skulls of the people of Sheth. Edom will be taken over, and Seir, its enemy, will be conquered, while Israel marches on in triumph. A ruler will rise in Jacob who will destroy the survivors of Ur. Then Balaam looked over toward the people of Amalek and delivered this message. Amalek was the greatest of nations, but its destiny is destruction. Then he looked over to the Kenites and delivered this message. Your home is secure. Your nest is set in the rocks, but the Kenites will be destroyed when Assyria takes you captive. Balaam concluded his message by saying, Alas, who can survive unless God has willed it? Ships will come from the coast of Cyprus. They will oppose Assyria and afflict Eber, but they too will be utterly destroyed. Then Balaam left and returned home, and Balak also went on his way.
Scripture reading from the New Living Translation by Emily Herrera. Like, follow, and subscribe to this devotional on whatever platform you use to listen to it. Email your questions to us at questions@becomehope.com. Tomorrow, we see the sneak attack.